Well, good morning. Good to see you. You know, the Lord is saying something here in this pandemic. I just wonder who's listening. I think one of the things that he is doing is he's separating the wheat from the tares. A lot of people that you thought were faithful found out they weren't as faithful as we thought. As I've said many times, talk is cheap. That's why there's so much of it. But now it's testing time. Testing time. Keep in mind, the Lord said this: forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Now we see who the is. Forsake not. Evidently, he must not have known about this pandemic. Evidently, this must have taken him by surprise when he said, "Where two or three or more gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." He evidently didn't count on this. I think what he is doing is separating the wheat from the tares. Separating make believers from the real believers, true believers. And that's why he said in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, there's a qualification to be free indeed, or to be even who you think you are. There's a qualification. You know, people, you hear it all the time: you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, sometimes the truth will send you to hell. Same truth. And that's why wages of sin comes before the gift of God. Because if there's no conviction, there's no conversion. We're getting away from that. Think about that. The wages of sin. Wages, plural, verb. Wages of sin. Think about that for a moment. When you get paid, you get what you owe and what you're due. Basically, you get what you're entitled to. And that's what the rejection of the Lord is all about. You're getting what you're entitled to, what's due you. And that payment never ends. Think about it. Wages, plural. It's not that you get paid and that's it. No. That's where the difference comes in. The wages, it just keeps on giving. It's the gift that never stops giving. If you're so unfortunate to go to that God-forsaken, benighted place that he never prepared for man. See, hell was not prepared for man. Man chooses to go there. He chooses to go there. He chooses to go to heaven. It's an all-volunteer army. When we were kids, we used to sing, "I'm in the Lord's army." But you volunteer. Nobody's drafted. It's whosoever will. God is separating now the whosoever wills from the whosoever wants. And just maybe this pandemic is proof of that. We have the same thing. There's some people that I was on the police department with. Well, I never thought they would not be back after this thing started again. So I'm just saying the Lord is smoking out, separating the wheat from the tares. And we're living to see the results. In Revelation chapter 5, you see, one of the ways you know that people are not praying for you, you know how you know that? I stand here as one that keeps Curtis on my prayer list every day. A lot of times you call me and I can't come, but it's not because I'm not praying for you. But here's how you know. that people are not praying for you. If they claim this is their fellowship, if they're not faithful here, they're not praying for you. They're not praying, they're straying, and they're playing, but they're not praying. That's what's happening. Because people who are praying for you, you see them. You can't be praying for Curtis and not be faithful. Those two, they go together. If you're praying for the fellowship and those in the fellowship, they'll see you. Because if some people attended their jobs like they attend service, they would have been fired long time ago. Long time ago. Why? Because they're more faithful to the secular than they are to the spiritual, which speaks volumes of who they really are. And that's why it's going to be a day, Steve, when there will be those who stand before the Lord and they will hear something they never thought they would hear. Never knew you. We were never acquainted. You fooled him, you fooled him, you fooled them, but you didn't fool me. We were never acquainted. I want to speak about a word, one word. It's called worthy. Worthy. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, let's pick it up with verse 10. The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and casteth crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, set sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nations. And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessings and honor and glory and power be to him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And the Lord will bless the reading, hearing, and heeding of his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Amen. Worthy. Worthy. Who is worthy? The question is asked in verse 2 by this strong angel. Who is worthy to open the book and to loosen the seals thereof? Notice what it didn't say. It didn't say who is willing. You get a lot of people who say they're willing to do this, to do that, courteous, or to do this and that for the Lord. And sometimes, many times, we fall short. But there's only one who is worthy to open this book of judgment and to loose the seven seals one at a time to see it go forth. Only one who is worthy. Because John says, "And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book." Look at this. "And neither could even look on this book of judgment, let alone open it." Couldn't even look upon it. And John said, "I wept much because no man was found." I mean, they looked, they searched. No one qualified to open, to read, or even again. If you notice, verse 3 and verse 4 closes the same way. "Neither to look thereon." Don't even look at it. Don't even think about it, in other words. Don't even think about it. That's the reason why if you're lost, there's no such thing as, you hear many times from people who should know better, speaking of people being unsaved. You see, when you say that word, you give license to the Pentecostals who believe you can be saved and lost. Un means, the prefix un means you undo something. Show it to me one time in the Bible. I said, show it to me, the word unsaved, show it to me one time in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, why do you use it? You're wrong, sir. You're wrong, ma'am. We are wrong to use that word. Because I say again, what you're doing is, you're saying you can be saved and lost. And especially if it's not written. No, you are dead in trespasses and sin. You're lost, but you're not unsaved. Well, there was a time I was saved, and then I got unsaved. I got saved again. I got unsaved. I got saved again. Then I got unsaved. Well, you just said I was unsaved. That means I was saved before. That's what it means. You untie your shoes, it means they were tied at one time. Then they untied. Same thing. But then it says something else in verse 6. Verse 5. "And one of the elders said unto me, Don't cry about this thing. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. See, the Lord is known as the Lamb of God, but he's also known as the Lion of God. It all depends on what context you're speaking in. If you're speaking for salvation, John the Baptist said, John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God. You need to know him first. Because if you don't know him first, it won't make any difference what he did. Behold the Lamb of God. Now, why should I know it? Because he takes away the sin of the world. So who he is comes first to fully appreciate what he has done. John had it right. Behold the Lamb of God. Get a load of him. Then you won't have to beg people to come to church. You won't have to beg people to sit around the Lord's table, prayer meeting. Because they'll never forget what he did to them. You don't have to remind them. They're more faithful to the Lord than they are to their secular boss. That's why a man should examine himself. And that's why the Bible encourages us, even the church at Corinth, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. I've done it many times. It's incumbent upon you to do it. Don't take anything for granted, especially something that's sure. You know, it's just like you're pretty sure you locked the door. You know, you're pretty sure you tidied the house up at night and locked everything up and put the alarm on if you have it. But then you have a question mark about it. You say, I really believe I did. And this is what John means in 1 John 1:13. That if you believe these things that I've written unto you, they're written down, that you might believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. You don't start off knowing anything. What does a baby know? He doesn't know anything. He's just trusting mother, trusting daddy. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know anything about the virgin birth. He doesn't know anything about justification, sanctification, consecration. He doesn't need to know about that. First things first, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word, and grow. There's growth coming. And that's the real indication if there's life there. Does he grow? Does he continue to desire? You see, but these things have I written unto you that believe. You start off believing, and then that you may know. And we forget these little fundamental principles. Yes, we do. We make the assumptions too much. And this is why we need to examine ourselves to see if we are really in the faith. Because you only have one time to get it right, and that's in this life. After this, can't get it right then. You're locked in. Even with Cain, the Lord said to Cain, if you do well, if you go back and get it right, will you not be accepted? Cain didn't deny that. My Calvinist friends, they can't answer this question. I say, where did free will begin? It didn't begin on earth. You haven't read your Bible. It began in heaven. And Lucifer said, I will, five times. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will be like the Most High. And he never said it. He thought it. And that's why the thought of foolishness is sin. That's how holy God is. The thought precedes the deed. Eve never did anything before she thought it. She saw the food was good, pleasant to the eyes, desired to make one wise. Then she took. Yeah, then she took. See the thought. And that's why every imagination of the thought of the hearts will be valued in that day before God. So if you don't get it right, in other words, what am I saying? If you're here, if you're lost, not unsaved, that's not in the Bible. Never says it. But if you're lost, let me give you a tip. Settle out of court. I've been in court many times as a policeman. Let me tell you something. I rode on the elevator with one of the leading singers of the Temptation, David Ruffin, and his lawyer, Kenny Cocker, just the three of us. They're both in hell now. As a policeman, I went up to, and I was thinking, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if the judge would give him 10 years? But he wouldn't, because he was a celebrity. He was a star. Couldn't do that. And he wouldn't want to be known as the one that said, David Ruffin, my girl. Talking about my girl. I can't do that. And he let him go again. And the next time they heard from him, he overdosed in the Philadelphia outhouse. Was it murder? Was it suicide? He was robbed. He had just come from a gig making about $5,000, $10,000 cash. All of that was gone. They put him in a car and dumped him outside of a hospital. See, that's what it comes down to, friends. When it's all over, then what? Then what? Then what? Well, there is one who is worthy. There's only one who is worthy. And you can check the records. This is true. This is true. No leader of any religious group, secular group for that matter, but any religious group ever gave his life for his followers. Who did that? I want to know. Who did that? Brigham Young, Joseph Smith, Muhammad, Confucius, David Koresh, Jim Jones. Who did it? Who gave their lives for the sheep? He is the only one. Laid down his life for the sheep. You know why? Because he's the only one that could take it again. I am the good shepherd. No one was ever called the good shepherd because there were none. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Imagine that. A leader, a shepherd. No shepherd gave his life for sheep. Come on here. Who do you, what shepherd gives? He knows. If he's hungry, he kills the sheep. Rightly so. If he's naked, he fleeces the sheep. Rightly so. But no shepherd gives his life for sheep. Sheep give their lives to shepherds. But this one is the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, there are some people that don't believe that. Well, Larry King didn't either, but he does now. We did an interview not long ago. Someone asked Larry King, they said, if you had one question to ask God, what would it be? And he said, I'd ask him, do you have any sons? Interesting. Well, he knows now he does. He knows now he does. And that's the problem that Jews have, reconciling that reality. And even in the first verse of the Hebrew Bible, it says, Elohim, in the beginning, Elohim, L1. Elohim means plural. Who is he talking to when he says, let us? And he has to be talking to his equal. Because when the Lord Jesus said, all power is given unto me. One of these kingdom hall folks thought they had me trapped. He said, yeah, but see, it was given to him. I said, but now listen carefully what you're saying. If God the Father has given all of his power and all of his authority, you're saying that he's given it to someone less than himself? Oh, you hadn't thought about that one, did you? I said, now let me show you something else. See if you haven't changed this in your Bible. Turn to John chapter 5. You can do the same too if you're not too proud. In John chapter 5, listen to these words. And it hangs on just one verse, an adverb, but it hangs on it. Listen to this. Verse 17, and Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Oh, my goodness. Wait a minute. What does I do? If that's not equality, I've missed something in school. I've missed something in grammar. He said, my Father worketh hitherto, In other words, we're doing the same thing. And I work. Now, 2,000 years ago, the Jews got it. How come you haven't gotten it yet? Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal to God.
They got it.
Why else would they pick up stones to stone him? We heard what you said, and we know what you meant. That's why we're going to kill you. Nobody makes himself equal to God.
Just by saying,
my Father worketh, and I work. Same thing, fellas. Same thing. Oh, no, it's not. We'll kill you. It's not going to get any better. Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, he's talking about the Father, he's clearing up what he just said. Your stones can't hurt me. He says, what are he doing? He says, the Son doeth likewise. How about that? It's going to get worse. Keep going. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater things than these, that ye might marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he wills. Now here's where it gets tight. Fasten your seat belts. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So again, if they're not equal, then God has Father has no power. Because he states before he left the earth, all power is given unto me. In heaven, he starts there. And on earth. So if there's someone else up there, he has no authority, he has no power. That's the equality of the two. And that's why we baptize in the name. Not names. Baptizing them in the name. Singular. You wouldn't say that unless there's equality there. You better not say that. Baptizing them in the name. Singular. In the name of the Father. Why the Father? Because the Father gave the Son. Why the Son? Because the Son gave his life. Why the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit convicts. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he draws you unto the Lord Jesus. Baptizing them in the name. That's not stressed enough. No, that's not stressed enough. Baptizing them in the name. Not names. In the name. I've come in my Father's name. And you receive me not. But if another shall come in his own name, him you will receive, Antichrist. If the opposite of me comes, oh, you'll believe him. You'll believe him. Now, here's where it really gets tight. In verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son, honoreth not the Father who has sent him. Did you get that? You remember I mentioned to you there's an adverb there that this whole thing hinges on? What is that adverb? Well, here it is. That all men should honor the Son, even, that's the adverb. That we miss. We just read it, flow by. We don't stop and pay attention to what it said. Even if that's not equality, again, I missed it in school. I missed it. Even as they honor the Father. Oh, the cults hate that. You should love it. He that honors not the Son. Now he turns it around. See? Watch this. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father who sent him. That's why the Lord could say, I'm the way. See, I'm the way. There's not a way. Definite article. I'm the way. The truth. Not a truth. The truth. Definite article. Then he said, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the way. That's exclusive. I am the way to God. I am the truth of God. And I am the life from God. No one comes to the Father except you first do business with me. I didn't say that. He did. I believe him. And you better. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. Because if you believe my word, you're going to believe on him who sent me. You see, God was in Christ. You can't divide this thing. I was with William MacDonald years ago. I was with him. He was speaking. I was shutting up, being quiet. And when he finished speaking, he was speaking on the same vein. And he was up in age then. He was old enough to be my father. And there was another fellow that was there that I thought I had a friendship going with him. We were out of state somewhere. I forget where it was. Until I found out how he talked to Mr. MacDonald. He came up to him and said, how could you say that the Father died when Christ died? How could you say God died when Christ died? That's what he said. Do you mean the Father? Then he said, son, God was in Christ. That's the Father. God was in Christ. We can't understand it. We just have to. And he was very tender and humble with the brother. And the way he talked to that man, I never spoke to him again. I never talked to him again. This man has written books on the entire Bible. Never married, but he had a love affair with the Lord. In fact, I got up this morning listening to him. Never will forget him. Good, gracious man of God. And he thought he had a friend in me, that fellow, but he found out because he called. I never returned his call because I never forgot. You don't talk to a statesman like that. You don't do that. We don't have many around, even then, of the caliber of Mr. William MacDonald, Brother William MacDonald. I wouldn't even dare call him by his first name. The man had walked with the Lord, dedicated his life to the Lord's people, and you're gonna argue with him like that in the temple. It wasn't like coming up asking a question. You're gonna come up to him and tell him something. When he did that, I let Brother MacDonald know I'm not in that company. I just backed away from him. Backed away from him. So no, I'm not. We're not in the same company. Not anymore. There's a true story. Little boy got lost. Couldn't have been no more than six. Police found him, said, cold outside. Ill-dressed, ill-cladly dressed. Say, son, say, what are you doing out here? Say, I'm lost. Say, where do you live? I don't know. He said, well, what's your address? I don't know. He said, what's your parents' name? I don't know. He was confused. He says, well, get in the car. We're going to get you some help. find out where you live. So we're going to ride around and you tell us if you recognize anything that you can show us maybe where you live. Down the street, I couldn't recognize a thing. You don't recognize any? No.
He said, oh. He said, there is one thing I remember.
I said, what's that, son?
He said, there's a large church near where I live. And on the lawn of that church, there's a tall cross. It looks like it reaches into the heavens. He said, really? And he said,
the little boy said,
officers,
if you get me to the cross, I'll find my way home. Father, we give thanks that it's at the cross, where we first saw the light. And the burden of our hearts rolled away. It was there by faith. We received our sight. And now we're happy all the day. Help us, Lord, even here at Curtis, not to be successful or popular, but faithful. This is what you're calling for, to be faithful unto death. And you will grant us a crown of life. Dismiss us with this mindset. In Christ's name, amen.